This is lecture number 4 of a 4-part series on Jeremiah the Prophet. The lectures are titled, Jeremiah and Prophecy. In the previous 3 lectures, we saw how Jeremiah was given a commission from God to be an axial prophet to the entirety of this earth. He was to be a key prophet, a prophet around which history would revolve. This is one of the reasons why he is so important in the biblical revelation. His prophetic commission was to last from the 6th century B.C. to our 21st century today, and indeed even beyond our time, to include the kingdom of God that would occur here on this earth with the second advent of Jesus Christ. He would be ruling for 1,000 years on this earth, and that kingdom of God phase is also within the commission of Jeremiah the prophet. His prophetic career lasted for that 40 years, but as far as his commission was concerned, but as far as his activities, we find in Jeremiah chapter 40 to 45 that he was still around after that 40-year period was over and giving advice to those in Judah who were on their way to Egypt. Later on, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we even find that he was among those in Babylon. So, though he had a 40 years of commission to take the message of God to the world and to the nations of the world that to whom he was given, that power and authority, we find that he was around for a few years even after that. Now, it's in Jeremiah 25, beginning in verse 15 and 18, where we find Jeremiah taking that commission of God to the various nations and also fulfilling it. Now, in the previous 24 chapters, we find that Jeremiah was prophesying. But his prophecies in that 24 chapters dealt primarily with Judah and Jerusalem and the kings of David who were still in the city of Jerusalem during that 40 years of his commission. But in chapter 25, then he gets down to delineate the various prophecies to the nations to whom he had been sent as an axial prophet. He was told by God to take a cup in his hand. Now, that cup was symbolic. But in the cup was wine. And in that wine was the power, when people would drink it, to assume a judgment from God. It was a cup of wine that was to cause the nations in the world to be mad, that they would be in desolation, that they would come to a state of non-existence. And God said, if any of the nations refused to drink of the wine cup, then in the hand of Jeremiah, that they would have to take it anyway, because God would force it on them. And then Jeremiah then takes that cup, and he goes first of all to God's own people, and that's where we come to in verse 18. He starts with Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. He causes them to drink of this figurative cup, this cup of judgment, and to show in the 6th century before the birth of Christ that they would go into a complete desolation, that the city of Jerusalem and that the temple would be completely destroyed. And we find that that exactly happened the way that Jeremiah said it would, followed up by Ezekiel and Daniel. And then he commences to go to the other nations round about Judah, finally going to Egypt, and then farther afield up to the Medes in the north, and then, as it says in verse 26, to all of the nations far and near, to all of the nations in the entirety of this world. So you see, Jeremiah's prophecy then reached out a long way. The United States of America was not a political entity back at that time, but the geography was here. I mean, our territory was here. And this prophecy of Jeremiah lasts down to our time today, because he says in verse 21 that the last power that would drink of this cup of judgment would be Shishak. And I've explained to you in the previous 3 lectures that this Shishak is a cipher for Babylon. Now, it's a mystery type of a Babylon, and that's why we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, that it is called Mystery Babylon, and that Mystery Babylon is going to control the entirety of this world, just before the second advent of Christ back to this earth. It's going to be controlled by the Antichrist that we find in other sections of Scripture. That's why he says that Shishak here, Babylon, was also drink of this cup of judgment, but not back at that time. And in actual fact, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was able to interpret the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And remember, the dream was that of an image on the plains of Shinar. And that image had a head of gold, had the silver near the arms, and then on down to brass, and then the legs were made of iron. The toes of that image were made of iron mixed with miry clay. And then there was a mountain, and a rock or a stone was carved out without hands on the top of that mountain, and it rolled down the slope of the mountain, and it hit that image, that Babylonian image that had the head of Nebuchadnezzar at its top extremity, and it toppled over, and then the stone pummeled it into dust. And then the winds came along and blew the remnants of that Babylonian image, made of gold, silver, brass, iron, and miry clay, into the four winds, and it was destroyed. And then that stone, that symbolic stone, became the kingdom of God on this earth. And we find from other scriptures in the book of Revelation and also in Daniel that it would be Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who would then begin to rule. Now, Jeremiah is responsible for all of these prophecies. He was the one who started the whole thing out. And that is why we find him being mentioned in various places. Even when the Messiah was introduced into the world, when Jesus Christ came, there was that prophecy by Jeremiah in the second chapter of Matthew. I gave it to you last time, where it speaks about Rama, Rama, weeping for her children. And then when Jesus was crucified, just before he was, with that paramount and significant time period associated with the crucifixion, we find also Jeremiah there prophesying about the 30 shekels of silver. And indeed, I'm going to mention that just a little bit later on, because it's most important that we understand that Jeremiah's writings are not only found in the 52 chapters that we find in his prophecy, or the 5 chapters that we find in the book of Lamentations, but as I gave to you in the first and second lectures, he also wrote Psalm 89, all of it. He also wrote Psalm 119. And when you put all of these scriptures together, you will find that he wrote a considerable amount of the Bible. And indeed, when Jeremiah is quoted back here, now let me go over to Matthew chapter 27, because he's associated with the crucifixion of Christ. And why shouldn't he be? He's an axial prophet. He is the one who is to help introduce these epochal times into world history, the times of importance, the time when one epoch would end, one age, and another would begin. So we find here in chapter 27 of Matthew about Judas, who was casting, once he took the 30 pieces of silver, he cast them into the holy place. And then in verse 9 of chapter 27, it says, Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now, Matthew quoted that, and he said it was Jeremiah the prophet who uttered that prophecy of the 30 shekels of silver that was associated with Judah and his act. In actual fact, that prophecy, however, is found in a different book than the one titled Jeremiah. It's found in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12. And last time, and I've given lectures on this before, and it's most important that we understand it. And if you want detailed information on this, you should read my book, Restoring the Original Bible, where I have a whole section in there showing who wrote Zechariah chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, those 6 chapters. Those 6 chapters are like the book of Revelation in many ways. They're like the book of Daniel. It's a small, minor, you might say, apocalypse dealing with the end time. And we find Jeremiah here being, Matthew saying that Jeremiah is the one who was the prophet who mentioned about that 30 shekels of silver. And yet it's in the prophecy of Zechariah. When you look at it very carefully, you will find that the last 6 chapters of the book of Zechariah are very different than the first 8. Very different indeed. And scholars have known this. And when you analyze them very carefully, you will find that those chapters there, which deal with the end time, in time just in advance of us, and when Jesus Christ will come back to the Mount of Olives, and when the kingdom of God will be established here on earth, you will find that Matthew was absolutely right when he said it was Jeremiah the prophet who actually uttered that prophecy back there, and not Zechariah, though the prophecy is attached to the 8 chapters of the book of Zechariah. We find then that Jeremiah wrote what we call today Zechariah 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. I emphasize that because if you understand nothing more from these four lectures than that, you will find how important Jeremiah is in the understanding of prophetic scriptures, and how he is indeed nothing more than an axial prophet. He was the one who introduced, in one way, the Messiah to the world, though it is Daniel who specified the chronological time periods in which it would begin. You remember Daniel chapter 9, how he refers back to Jeremiah? You see, these prophets here, they keep referring back to Jeremiah. Why? Because he had the commission given by God to state these things in the first place. It's just like I or you working for a particular company with the chief executive being a particular man, and you might be doing business in certain parts of the world, and you would refer back to that chief executive all the time. Well, that's the same thing here. Remember in Daniel chapter 9, he says that he himself was in the first year of Darius, this is chapter 9 and verse 2, he understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. That is, from the very time that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Then 70 years would pass, and after that, Jerusalem would be restored. However, as we find in Zechariah chapter 2 and also Zechariah chapter 7, when the Jews got back from the Babylonian captivity, they did not find, as they thought, the prophecies of Jeremiah being fulfilled in exactly the same fashion that Jeremiah stated them. They were wondering what was going on. But Daniel here, in this first year of Darius, which was after the Babylonian captivity, or at the conclusion of it, he then is given an interpretation which is rather different. It's rather expansive, based upon that 70 years of Jeremiah. But now, in verse 24, we find that that 70 years is expanded into 70 weeks. And that means 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks, there are 7 days in a week. 70 times 7, 490 years. This 490 years, or 70 weeks, is broken up into four divisions. A division of 7 of weeks, which is 49 years, and then of 62 weeks, 434 years, and then 1 week at the end of the age, which is divided into halves. On one side, 3.5 years, and on another side, 3.5 years. You remember in Daniel how the 3.5 years, or the time times and a half a time, or 1,260 days, are found in prominence? You also go to the book of Revelation and you find the 1,260 days, or 42 months, or time times and a half a time there. That deals with this last week of Daniel. But these weeks that we find here of Daniel are really supported by the 70 years that Jeremiah said Jerusalem would be desolate, and we find that Daniel further intensifies that prophecy and includes it on down to the time when even the Messiah would come on the earth and would die. This prophecy here of the 70 weeks reaches directly to Jesus Christ and the time in the future, 483 years from the building up of the city of Jerusalem on down until the Messiah would come. I've written many articles on this, and I think that most of you should understand the basic teachings of this 70 weeks prophecy by now. 483 years. By the way, if you put that 483 years onto the chronology of the Old Testament, you will find that when it concludes in the time of Jesus, the very year it concludes, the 483 years, if you attach that to the 70 years that Jeremiah here talked about, that Daniel refers to, and then you attach that to the number of years back to the fourth year of Solomon, when he built the temple at Jerusalem, and then take that back to the Exodus period, to 480 years, and then take that back to 430 years before that, to the 99th year of Abraham, and then go all the way back from the 99th year of Abraham to the first year of Adam, that's 2,107 years. If you add all of that up together, you get exactly 4,000 years. 4,000 years precisely. From the first Adam to the second Adam. And this is all based primarily upon the prophecies of Jeremiah. That's why I'm trying to show you how important he really is in world affairs. And many people have not understood this up to this time. So when we read Daniel here, chapter 9 and verse 24, it introduces the Messiah from a chronological point of view into the world. And we find the prophecy of Jeremiah in Matthew 2, 17 at his birth. And we find also the prophecy of the 30 shekels of silver associated with Judah and Christ's death at Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. Now, when he says in Matthew 27, that is, Matthew does, that it is Jeremiah who gave the prophecy of the 30 shekels of silver, then, as I said before, you look at those prophecies of Zechariah, that is, in the book of Zechariah today, chapter 9 through 14, and I am highly tempted to give an overview of them, but I'll tell you this, if you do, you will see Jeremiah coming out in all of them. You will find that those prophecies, too, deal with Jeremiah. It makes the divisions of Jeremiah, when you put them all together, to be about 70 in the scripture, which is rather interesting. That goes along, in a sense, with the 70 weeks prophecy. It also goes along with the 70 years of sabbatical years that would pass over Jerusalem and the land of Judah because they did not keep the sabbatical years in the previous time when the kings of David or the descendants of David were here on earth. And that's for a 490-year period. Let's go to 2 Chronicles here at the very end, and I'm going to show you how important this is. What it does is to hinge together all of these prophecies into a chronological framework so that we can be assured of what is going to happen in the future. Because we're coming in right now in this 21st century, which is just around the corner. We're coming into the end of the 6,000-year period that has been prophesied in the scripture for mankind to live on this earth. And following that will be the second advent of Christ, who will introduce the 1,000 years called the millennium, and you add that 1,000 to 6,000, and you come to a 7,000-year plan of God. Jeremiah was basically in the middle of that. And here he is, though, telling us chronologically what to expect in the near future. At the conclusion of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the house of God, that is, the temple being destroyed, he told how long it would be until people would be able to go back to Jerusalem and there again establish once more the nation of Judah, in not the kingdom, because there would not be any king from that time until the second advent of Christ, that is, any king of David. But it would last until the king of David would come back much in the future. Now, the benchmarks of this 70 years and the reason why the 70 years are given by Jeremiah is found in the last verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. It says in verse 19, "And they burned the house of God." That means they burnt down the temple. This was in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He had his armies there around Jerusalem, and they had taken the city of Jerusalem. And they burnt the house of God. They break down the wall of Jerusalem. They burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and they destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. Now, you remember the time of the year in which that was? I gave that to you in the last lecture, and it's most important that we understand it. That was in the summertime. That was in the Hebrew month of Ab, the fifth month of the Hebrew calendar, which answers to about our August today. On the 9th of Ab is when the temple went up in smoke. And remember, that's when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, back there in the time of Nebuchadnezzar and also of Jeremiah. But 600 years later, almost, we find that exact same day the temple was destroyed in the time of Titus, who took his Roman armies into Jerusalem, and the city was destroyed in the temple on that exact day. That makes it very important that we understand that. Because when Ezra the priest put together the Old Testament, he put together the Book of Lamentations alongside of four other books, and right in the middle of those books he placed it. The Book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, as I said before. It was an acrostic. Remember, the first chapter is in 22 verses, from Aleph to Tau, that is ABC down to XYZ. The second chapter was the same thing. The third chapter is the same thing, though it had 66 verses. And in the fourth and the fifth chapter, both of them had 22 verses. This book of Lamentations, which talks about the total destruction of the city of Jerusalem, was surrounded by two books on either side in Ezra's canon of the Old Testament. And you will find it in that canon right to this very day by the Jews. And when we get the original Bible out, very soon you're going to find that the book of Lamentations occurs right in the middle of that section called the Megillot, which the festival books. And on the side, you'll find the Song of Songs and the book of Ruth on the left side of this Lamentations. On the right side, you find the book of Ecclesiastes and then the book of Esther. And right in the middle of the Megillot, you find the destruction book by Jeremiah called the Book of Lamentations. It's interesting that Ezra the priest, and this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, said that Jeremiah ordained the teaching of Lamentations, or the reading of Lamentations. He made it an ordinance that it should be read at the particular time of the year in which the temple itself was destroyed. And it was an ordinance in Israel, and to this very day, he says in verse 25 of 2 Chronicles 35, that this Lamentations of Jeremiah is being read. And what day of the year was it read? On the 9th of Ab, on the anniversary of the destruction of the temple in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So here we are in verse 19, chapter 36. It says that the house was burnt down, the city of Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Verse 20, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he, that is Nebuchadnezzar, away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill, now get this here, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she, that is the land, lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now this Sabbath is not a weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. This Sabbath here is not an annual Sabbath like the first day of unleavened bread or the last day or the day of Pentecost or the day of trumpets or the day of atonement or the first day of tabernacles or the octave, the last day. No, it's not one of those type of Sabbaths. This is another type of Sabbath. It's called a land Sabbath. And I'm going to give you the scriptures on this in a moment. Because when we see what this land Sabbath is all about, you will find that it has a significant teaching in the book of Jeremiah, not only for back at that time, but for us today. And it was also very important to introduce Christ Jesus into the world and also to show the conclusion of the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel leading up to the introduction of Christ into the world. Believe it or not, they're all in these sabbatical years. And indeed, the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, on to the end of the chapter, those 70 weeks are 70 sabbatical cycles. They are intended to be that way. Every seventh year, when the Israelites lived in the land of Canaan, once they conquered it under Joshua, after the first 7 years were over, then they divided the land by lot. And once they divided the land by lot, every seventh year after that, they were to let the land lie idle. I'm going to show it to you in a few moments. And it's important that you realize this. They let the land lie idle for 7 years. The seventh year, I should say, after a 7 years period. And then after 14 years would come along, the second seventh year, they would let lie idle. And no farm produce could be taken from the land. Well, it could be if you just picked it by the hand, but not for commercial purposes. And it would go on every seventh year was to be a sabbatical year. Now, here is what Jeremiah said, that the 70 years captivity that Nebuchadnezzar was to effect upon the Jews back at that time were to satisfy 70 sabbatical years that the land had never enjoyed from the time of King Solomon down to the time of Jeremiah. They had never had the land give its 70 years of sabbatical periods. It had never happened. Now, at this time, Jeremiah says it's going to happen because what I'm going to do is to take the Israelites, that is the Jews, out of the land I'm going to take them to Babylon, and the land is going to lay desolate for 70 years. Now, all of you listening to this tape, I want to emphasize that 70 years, because almost all scholars today, almost all historians today, virtually every theologian there is in every denomination we have in Christendom amongst the Jews, or even amongst the Muslims, say that in no way was that period of time 70 years, though we find six different times in the Bible it's 70 years, and in the 70 weeks prophecy, that's the seventh occasion, which is based upon the 70 years, we find Daniel referring to it. Seven different times. And I'll tell you this, it is no wonder that people today are making mistakes on the overall understanding of chronological period of the Old Testament leading up to the Jesus Christ and leading up to our period today. They do not know when the millennium is going to begin because they have not got the ancient chronology straight. I have written on this in the past, and it's most important that we have understand the significance. It's 70 years, and it is 70 years, and I can prove that the Bible is absolutely correct. What we find here, then, is Jeremiah saying that this desolation upon the land of Judah, the whole land from beginning to end, including the city of Jerusalem and also the temple, was to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths for as long as she lay desolate. She kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years. In other words, they had not kept the sabbatical years up to this time, and God says, I'm going to force it on them. These 70 years would end at a particular time, when a king of Persia would come on the scene. And here he is, mentioned in verse 22. It says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, that is, about the 70 years, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and then he allowed the Jews to go back to Palestine and build the temple once more. We're going to see what these 70 years are and how important they are in just a moment. Please turn over the cassette tape for the B-side of Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 4.